Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And during this segment, we're going to be talking about a place where many of us know very well, in Lorium, the Lorium Manor Inn. A beautiful home there. It's currently a bed and breakfast. And here to talk about both the history of the Lorium Manor and, you know, tell you how, if you would like, you could also stay there and experience the wonderful place yourself. Here is Dave and Julie Springer coming in from the Lorium Manor Inn. Welcome, folks, to the program.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
How long have you been involved with the...
Well, we're the owners.
Okay.
We are a corporation, so I am technically the president and Dave is the treasurer.
Which means we do everything.
So what do you have to do as both the owner, I mean, as far as taking care of the place?
Well, there's a lot of maintenance on a big 13,000 square foot mansion, as you can imagine. But Dave and I have our specific tasks working together. We have carved that out. I'm in charge of housekeeping, front desk people, because we are a hotel, and the tours. Dave is responsible for maintenance and the financial part of it.
And most of the marketing and the finances.
Well, I want to get to talking about what it's like to stay at the Lorium Manor Inn now, these days, and what it takes also to kind of go through a day-to-day operations of running such a huge place. But let's start with the beginning. And how old is the manor?
It was built in 1908. It took 2 years to build it. We also own the Victorian Hall across the street, and we're pretty sure the workers worked at one mansion and then came right over across the street and worked at the other one when they were done with the Victorian Hall. So from 1908 to 1949, it was owned by Thomas and Cornelia Hodson. And from 49 to 79, it was Maynard and Jane Hurlburt.
The original owners, were they involved with the Calumet Heckla mine?
His father, Thomas Hodson Sr., was the superintendent of Calumet and Heckla from 1871 until his death in 1895. And Thomas Hodson Jr. and his brother and other siblings were also worked at the Calumet and Heckla, where Thomas and his brother Jim got the title captain because they were in positions of management.
Okay. I love Lorium. I've lived there for about 3 years before moving over to Calumet. Loved walking the streets of Lorium and looking at all the old homes, the architecture, wondering who were these people that lived in these homes back when they were first built and during the heyday of the copper boom. And the Lorium Manor itself is very majestic. I mean, you stand on the street and just stare at it and go, wow, what a beautiful building. Even among the wonderful homes that are in Lorium, it stands out. Is it the largest home in Lorium?
It's the largest home in the whole Keweenaw. We only know of two other homes in the whole UP that are larger than the manor. One is over on Lake Gogebic, and the other one is Grana Loma, north of Marquette.
Oh, wow, that is a really...
At 13,000 square feet, it is very large.
Now talk about the architecture and how it's built.
It's a wood frame home. It's called neoclassical design, or colonial revival. It can be classified as either one. I suspect he was inspired, or at least as architect, by the White City, the World's Fair in Chicago in 1895, if I remember correctly. And obviously liked that style, and when he made his fortune, decided, I want my home to look like this. It was a big style that was going around the country at that time. A lot of the civic buildings took on that style.
Any idea in today's money what it would have cost to have built that?
It cost $50,000 to build in 1908. And put that in perspective, the miners were making about $2.50 for a 10-hour day. So I would have to say that the manor would probably be in the $5 million range to rebuild it.
Hmm. driving around through just different places in the Copper Country, Lorium itself had to have been obviously a very affluent place to live.
Oh, by far. It was, it's from a lot of them, as you can see walking around, all the mansions that were built. And about the time frame that these were being built is when the company that Thomas helped start was starting to pay back big dividends. And these were the investors in his mining company. And they too wanted to build their nice large mansions to show off their wealth.
Now, you have a lot of knowledge about the history of Lorium in general.
Yeah, I researched it back in 2008 when I was writing up the walking tour of Lorium. And so, yeah, which is something you can see on our website, lorium.info, as a PDF of, so you too could take a walking tour of Lorium and learn about the history of these beautiful mansions and other buildings that we have in Lorium.
We spend a lot of time here, and we look at Calumet a lot, and rightfully so. It's wonderful. It's huge. It's got a lot of history. But again, from a former Lorium resident, I would sometimes say, yeah, but you ever go down, Heckler Street in Lorium? I mean, there's, the buildings there are also, historic, and you ask, well, what was this building used before? Oh, that used to be a three-level department store in Lorium. What was the difference between the, that is a main street back 100 years ago as opposed to going down Fifth Street in Calumet?
Well, Lorium, what makes it unique for the Copper Country is that people could own the land, unlike Calumet, which at the time you could only lease the land. They leased it relatively inexpensively, but you could not own it. The mining companies owned the land. So that's why most of the mansions were built in Lorium. Nobody was going to build a $50,000 mansion on leased land if they had any option to do that. And so that's why Lorium grew up the way it did and became the residential area.
And what's wonderful about Lorium is that if you're walking down these streets, you're going to see what we say merchants, miners, and mansions. Everybody lived together. So next to the Lorium Manor Inn was a more modest home that was just maybe a mine owner or mine worker. So everybody kind of wanted to buy their own land and build their house, and it was more of an entrepreneurial kind of town. So.
Yeah, we did some looking up in the house that we were living in when we did live in Lorium. It was on North Iroquois Street, and couldn't date our own house, but it was built very much in a similar style as another house that we knew was from 1899, so we knew that we had to be around that time. And we were also aware of some of the renovations, that the second floor used to be one giant open floor. You could sleep more people that way. I don't know the exact number of people that would have been living in this home at the same time, but there was a whole lot, and there was one restroom, so to speak, and it was in the basement, I've always found history and seeing how things have developed fascinating, and so just going back to the Lorium Manor as sort of the jewel there of Lorium. Take us back to those early days, what life would have been like living in a place like that.
Well, I think it would be a really lovely lifestyle. The owners, they had three children. They had six children, three girls and three boys. They also, from what we can gather, they had 3 to 4 live-in maids, and they had very nice quarters up on the third floor. They also had a chauffeur who actually did a little bit of painting in the carriage house. So you see his signature, Charles Bracco, and some cute paintings that he had done in the carriage house. So living in that time, they had all the modern conveniences. In 08, they had electric lighting and had every creature comfort available to them. 6 bathrooms at the time, which is amazing. So it was really, really quite the place.
How was the home heated?
With coal. But it had a very high-tech heating system. Back in 1908, it was probably pretty rare to even have a thermostat for the house. And in the manor, every room had its own individual thermostat, with a thermometer right on the wall, and so they could adjust it. And temperature degrees were such a new thing that it also had to have a description on the thermometer. It says summer heat, blood heat, and
temperate.
That was, and corresponding to about 50 degrees, 70 degrees, and 98 degrees, because the Fahrenheit scale was so relatively new and unknown that they had to describe it to people what different temperatures were.
Okay.
And we still have some of those thermometers that you can see in the rooms.
The servants that lived there, did they live in the home itself?
Yes. They lived on the third floor.
Okay. And what kind of dining? I always picture a nice home to have a huge dining hall.
We have a really large dining room. Right now, we can seat like 22, 25, something like that in the dining room. We have the original table from the Hotsons, and that sat 12 people. And the walls in the dining room are the famous elephant hide walls.
What's that? It's actually elephant
leather that's embossed and gilded.
Mm-hmm. That could not have been cheap. Even
correct.
Now, my goodness. And it's still that way.
It's still there. It's beautiful.
Hmm. Now, you came in possession of the manor when again?
1989.
Mm-hmm. When you took it over, what was the condition?
Unlivable. There was no furnace. We had one sink work in one bathroom, a toilet in another. Almost all of the light fixtures were gone.
There was carpet glued to all the beautiful hardwood floors. From 79 to 89, the house really changed hands quite a bit, and so it was actually quite abused and neglected. So it was pretty sad.
There were several antique dealers that owned it during that time that bought it just to strip it.
Okay.
Of the fixtures.
So did you see this as an investment when you bought it? Is that something you can turn around and restore? Or?
Yeah, we were living out in California at the time, and we had started playing in real estate out there. And remembered, we had seen the mansion when we were going to school at Michigan Tech. And at that time, it was vacant and not a very inviting place.
Yeah, it was boarded up. Yeah, it was really, but it obviously stayed with us because, like you said, you drive down the street and all of a sudden here's this amazing house. And when we left Michigan Tech and went to California, we always thought about it as we started, playing in real estate out there and decided to come back and take this on. Mm. Youth had a lot to do with it. In exuberance.
and ignorance.
You don't have to give me any of the details, but how much of an investment was it to be able to take this in the situation that it was in and then slowly, piece by piece, beginning to restore it to its former glory?
We'll tell you when we're done.
We have no idea. No.
Some numbers are best to remain unknown to us, because when you start looking at the return on investment, we might think maybe we should have chose a different career path.
So a labor of love, definitely.
Absolutely. So most of the work has been done. I would say probably like 95% of it we've done. 90 to 95% we've done on our own. So that's
why we've had employees too.
Yeah. So we know what to do when it comes to sanding floors and that sort of thing.
And the manor across the street, what was the name of that one?
That's Victorian Hall.
Victorian Hall. Was that after you first bought the Lorium?
Yeah, we purchased that one in 93.
Okay, so you're having so much fun with the Lorium Manor, you decided to pick that one up then too.
That's right. it was only 7,000 square feet, so it was easy.
Okay. people can stay there as well?
Right. It's open from in May through October.
I was wondering, why close it during the wintertime? You close the Lorium Manor too, correct?
No. We are open year-round except for November and most of April. But Victorian Hall, winter tourism is much lower than the summer tourism, so it just doesn't...
Well, it makes sense. Yeah, I was even living in Lorium, was under the impression that the Lorium Manor itself was also seasonal. Otherwise, it would have been a winter night or two. I wouldn't mind staying there. It was better it was warmer than the house I was staying at. Well, tell me about somebody that is going to be staying at, we'll stick with the Lorien Manor in this particular case. What's their night like?
You know, it's very similar to a hotel as far as people come in, they check in. They're checked in either by Dave or myself or one of our front desk staff. We have really wonderful people that work with us. So they're checked in. We encourage them to tour the house. Any room that is not occupied, we leave the door open so the guests can wander around. We don't live in the property. We live next door, so people aren't in our home. They actually get to experience the whole house on their own. I mean, they get to live the life of the Hotsons, so to speak. So you'll see people, you know, go up to their room, get themselves settled, come down. They'll grab a cup of coffee and some cookies. We always bake something unusual, fresh every day for them to snack on in the evening. They'll go out onto the porch or any of the other rooms having a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and, and then, of course, we send them to one of the local restaurants, and they have a key. They come and go into the mansion on their own. They, you know, so it's a bed and breakfast, but it's more of an inn or a hotel feel. You have a lot of privacy. All the rooms have private baths, and we have wireless through the house. And then we serve breakfast to our guests from 8 to 10 in the morning. So they just come down between 8 and 10.
Style.
Yep. And we really pride ourselves on our breakfast. They're very unique. And I come from a French background, so we make sure that they're very full when they leave.
My daughter, just come back from French camp, would know that that's what happens.
Yes. Yep. It's all about the food.
For those that maybe have not stayed in a bed and breakfast, the experience is night and day compared to staying in a hotel. I did only once in my entire life, but I did stay once at a bed and breakfast. It was at a similar situation outside of Detroit in an area of Detroit that was preserved. And the homes in there, you know, had been, you know, just similar to what you've done with the Lorien Manor. They've been kept up. They've been renovated as needed. And certainly there was at one point very wealthy people that lived on this block. And I forget how many bedrooms. It wasn't as big as the one you're talking about, but maybe about 8 bedrooms, certain 3 floors. And staying there was not like when you go to a hotel and you confine yourself to your room. You know, maybe you go down to the pool, but, you know, you're quiet when you go down the halls and you come scurrying back up to your room and you camp down right there in your bedroom from the time that you're there until you leave. But the bed and breakfast was more of a community living. You know, you went down and you sat in the chairs in the living room and kicked your feet up, and there were a fireplace going, and you got up and got your coffee. You know, it was just, you know, there were no maids, no servants, so you had to get up. If you wanted coffee, you had to go get it yourself. But then I remember the meal and sitting down with, you know, 12 people at this giant table with all of this food. You know, the food itself was probably worth, you know, the money to stay the night. And so having that experience, I know you could stay, even if you're local, you could stay at some place like the Lorien Manor. I'm doing your advertising for you. You could stay at a place like the Lorien Manor, and it's a vacation, home away from home type of thing. You can live just a block or two away, but you'll feel like you're a million miles away when you're staying there, because that's the experience that I bet you get there, because that's where I got from another fine establishment as well.
You're totally submerged in the history of the house and the house. And you know, we have, you know, magazines from, you know, the 30s that people can thumb through. And it's amazing how many local people come and spend their anniversaries with us. And they literally live one block away. And that's really fun because they're close enough if they have small kids that they're, you know, if there's an emergency, they can get back to their kids, but yet they are away from their everyday life. And we try to pamper them and talk about the history, and they learn so much about the history of the area. It's exploring your own backyard.
And cost-wise, comparing it with the national chain hotels that you're familiar with in the area, and that with what I saw, what you charge at the Lorien Manor, it was like, oh, I thought it would be a whole lot more than it is. So, how much does it cost?
Well, anywhere from, it depends on the time of year. So we have rooms that start at $100 up to $200. And it depends on the room because each room is unique. So like our most popular room, the Lorium Suite, has a king-size bed, a double bed, fireplace, private balcony, and private bath, and it's close to 800 square feet. So that is the most expensive room, and that, of course, includes breakfast. But people can, you know, experience it at $100 and have just a little bit smaller room, but you can experience the fireplace and that sort of thing on the first floor and in the community area.
The people in the smaller rooms don't have to wait on the people in the bigger rooms, right? You know, the,
correct. You know, the we won't make them. We won't make them serve.
You know, for something special like the anniversary type of gift that you mentioned earlier, one that's the cost is very reasonable, and the effect is, it's a lifetime experience to be able to do that. And face it, most of us are never going to live like that on a regular basis.
Correct.
I love where I live. It's a very nice home, but it's not in the Lorium Manor. It's not, that level of high life living. And so even if it's you're paying for the experience of doing it for a matter of a night or two, you always will remember that.
Because it is an experience, and that's the difference between an inn, bed and breakfast, and a hotel is you're not only having lodging, but you're having an experience. And a lot of people really want that, especially our millennials, the younger people. They don't want to just travel. They want to travel and have an experience, and where they stay needs to be an experience. And so we kind of fill that niche in the travel industry.
So you have been now owning this place for 27 years.
Yeah.
All right. So are you going to be buying any more?
Oh, good God, no. We have the Lorium Manor Inn and the Carriage House, Victorian Hall and its Carriage House, and then we have two other properties that are weekly rental, and they're historic houses. Average houses. One's 3,000 square feet and one's about
1,700.
And so those are for families that come to visit in the area. So we kind of have our hands full with property.
And we have two others that are works in progress that future vacation rental homes.
Oh, okay. So you're definitely not just riding this out for retirement. You're still expanding and building and improving and
correct
doing all those things. So with the manor itself, what else would you like to be able to do?
Probably we'll be adding another room at some point in the not too distant future. We have a room that could be we used in the past, but we converted it into another use. We're probably going to be working on a new tour. We do the self-guided tours from 11 to 5 every day, and it's just a printed one, but we will be making that into a video that can be downloaded on their iPhones.
A self-guided tour of
the manor.
Okay.
We're part of the Keweenaw National Park. We are part of their heritage sites, and so that is, we tell the history of the architectural history and the history of the manor. And like Dave said, from 11 till 5 each day, people come in and they get a pamphlet and they can walk through the house, and it's $7 a person. Okay. So people, if they're coming to the area and have other plans for lodging, they can at least come and tour the house. But we had talked about that we really would like to do an audio, like we said, an audio tour for people that they can download on their phones.
Yeah, well, it's been popular now, so you walk around with that little earbud in your ear while you're going through. Mm-hmm. People can't read anymore. You're asking them a lot now.
They don't.
Since we only have, this short 25 minutes, and it's so hard to talk, we can't really fit in all of the history of the Lorium Manor, and I don't believe we are doing it justice at all as far as how beautiful of a place it is. So if people want to be able to find out more, whether it's the history or more information about perhaps staying at the manor, how can they do that?
Go to our website at lorium.info, and that will have all the information on the staying there and also the tours.
Pictures of the guest rooms are on there. So
prices, availability, you know, that's the easiest way to check us out.
And availability of reservations. I know there's got to be times of the year where you're going to be really packed and other times where maybe a little lighter. If you're looking for holidays during the summer, they're a certain thing. I imagine you want to get kind of cracking soon here, right?
If you want a specific room on a specific date, call us as soon as you know, because the especially the suites, those are the most popular.
I'll have to book mine soon then. Dave and Julie, thank you for coming on the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.